concerns with one another for the purpose of corporate prayer. As the choir goes back to their seats, does anyone have a joy that they would like to share this morning with the group?
My performance in Carnegie Hall is next weekend, and I'm really excited and looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Don?
Yes.
We're thankful that Doris has come back from Florida. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be home.
Anyone else? Yes.
I have my daughter with me today, and it's wonderful.
Excellent. That's it. Anyone else? Any joys? Yes.
I've got a great joy.
Anyone else? Okay, let's move on to our please, go ahead.
I just have a little joy, but my piano student's grandparents were stuck on that ship in Norway that was in stormy seas. We were singing about stormy seas, but and the family was really frightened for them, and they asked for prayers, but I just found out that they docked safely.
That's wonderful. We saw that on the news this morning. Okay. How about our concern? Oh, great.
I don't know if I said this last time, but our school got a Blue Ribbon Award, which means that all of our top music departments got straight ones, which is a superior rating at our assessment.
Okay. Concerns. Anybody have a concern they'd like to share? Marcia?
I was going to say, in Atlanta, that Freight Safe Travels for the students going to New York and just be diligent and careful. Yeah, I'm sure the chaperones will make sure of that, but safe travels.
Anyone else? Yes.
A client that I was helping care for just passed away Friday. So I'd like to ask for prayers for his family. It's the Richford family.
Say that last name.
Richford.
Richford.
Gentleman that works with me, his mother just passed away yesterday morning. So he D.C. headed down to North Carolina to be with the family. So Jason Meyer and his family.
Anyone else?
My mother's in the hospital. It looks like I'll be going to Heart of Lynn later in the week.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
I have a combination of joy and concern. My third eldest grandson was just selected to become an Air Force pilot.
Oh, nice.
Update on Bill Irish. He is wearing a monitor for 48 hours to see how he's doing. And once they get done with that, they may be putting a stent in. But he's continuing to work hard at getting well.
Anybody else?
Don't.
We want to keep Barbara Brown and Judy Bugsner and Roberta Dolphin.
Astral Angel, that's okay.
Special thanks to Steve and the trustees. Did you notice the light? Lighting changed. It's much comfortable and very nice. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, if you will, let's bow our heads. We'll go to the Lord together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard here this morning that we have so much to be thankful for as a church. We thank you, Lord, for the traveling mercies that you bestowed upon us. We thank you for the opportunities for Greg, for Carnegie Hall, Lord. We thank you that Doris is back from Florida. We thank you for bringing our daughters and their sons to church with us, Lord. We thank you for the anniversaries and the adoptions and all those good and wonderful things that you've bestowed upon our family, Lord, the job opportunities as a pilot. And we thank you, Lord, that you watch out for us and that even in the small things, you find ways to give us such goodness. We ask you, Lord, to please be with the many situations that we voice here today, Lord, about concerns we have for the health of our family members, Lord. We have many of our church family, Lord, that you heard their names, Barbara Brower and Judith Wilson and Bill Irish and all these circumstances and our loved ones and our mothers, Lord, that are going to be dealing with health needs this week. We ask you to please, Lord, be with each and every one in a very real and mighty way. We ask you to help us not forget our brothers and sisters and that we're there and that we're praying for them and that we're with them. But most of all, Lord, remind them that you are present and ever present with them in their circumstances. We ask you, Lord, to please continue to show us where you want us to go in our future of this church. We ask you to please provide the right youth leader. We ask you to please be with the people that we voice with the loss of family members, Lord. We ask you to please be with this church in a mighty way, Lord. Please bring us those souls that need us, Lord, and please help us to be everything that you would have this church to be. So please join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And amen. Now, if the ushers will please come forward, let's honor the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. reading today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today, we will be talking about how we best handle our money or God's money for us. Why do we talk about this issue, money, and how we handle money? According to CNBC News, 75%, did you hear that? 75% of us Americans, we are stressed on money. And out of the 25% of our people, they are extremely stressed on the issue of money. That's why, because of these reasons, what money does or what can do for us, number one cause of divorce is money, and this is a way that surpasses even infidelity. Doesn't that surprise you? Even this is serious than someone being unfaithful to his spouse and causes stress and divorce. And here's another fact, according to Money Magnifier, that research, you know, we tend to think that if I have lots of money and then I'll be more happier, my relationship to my spouse and my children, all those things be wonderful and it will be better. That's what we think. But it's not necessarily true. 33% of people who make $100,000 or more, they get divorced. 33% of people who make a lot of money, $100,000 or more, they make. However, their divorce rate is high, 33%. How about, you know, people making $99,999 to $50,000? Their divorce rate goes down from 33% to 25%. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. About the people who make less than $50,000, their divorce rate is 18%. That's almost half of people who are making three times more than they do. So through this, this is what we know, and also as you can see that when couples and people have issues and challenges on this issue of money, how to handle money, and then couples fight or argue and angry, that affects the well-being of our children and grandchildren as well. That's a really serious issue. With that, this is what I'm inviting you to think with me, that is how much money that we are making, that's good, that matters. However, what matters more is how do you and I, we handle the money. So we have choice between, we do our best, you know, because we think that if we have more money, then they'll be better, so we work hard, even two or three jobs, and also we kind of squeeze in here and there, and then still we feel pinched and stressed. Or could it be this is time that we go back to God's word and study and reflect and couples discuss and reflect and study and pray about it and considerable following God's way. That's what I'm asking you to think with me and pray with me. So as your pastor, I don't want your family like that. I don't want our church family to be like that, stressed and angry and upset, but I want all of your family like this, and your children's children. Family smiles, come together, discuss and plan together, and hold out one another accountable, and that way we follow God's way, smiles and laughters. I'm not saying that if you follow this, you're going to be just automatically multimillionaire. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about peace and loving relationship. Home, that your children come happy. And about this issue, they don't fight and argue, but there's peace and joy about this. That's my goal and my prayer to you. And as I do so, this is one principle that I'm operating, and I want you to hold me accountable on this and to do this. That is, I follow Matthew 5:19. In Matthew 5:19, there Jesus said, if anyone who doesn't to the word of God, doesn't observe the word of God, and teaches others, they'll be called the least in the kingdom of God. However, Jesus said that if anyone who practices the word of God and teaches people, he or she will be called the greatest, or called the be blessed. So, you know, what I'm going to share with you today, I know this is kind of a sensitive issue and topic, you can hold me accountable. These are things my wife and I, we agree to talk about, and we believe by the word of God, and we practice. We do our best. So only from that ground, Matthew 5:19, I'd like to share with you the things that God teaches us and the things that I've been practicing in that way. My wife and I and our family experience God's great faithfulness in our lives. So I'm inviting you to reflect this with me and follow God's word. And you may say, Pastor, you know, so now you're a millionaire? No, I'm not. Then what kind of credentials do you have that you can teach us and share this with you? And two things I can share with you. First is my wife and I, we have absolute clear biblical agreement on this issue. She's very smart and she's very creative and she's a very strong person. She's not here, right? So there are things that we don't agree. However, on these things, we have 100% agreement on that. So my wife and I, we don't sweat on this. We don't fight on this. That relieves the pressure, lowers the pressure really down. Really. And we can funnel our energy and attention to something else. That's one thing that I can share with you. And second is, though I'm not a millionaire, the thing is, we do not have any debt. No student loan. Once we had three in colleges, and that year, you know, about 3 years, we didn't have any pay increase, but, you know, three in colleges, but no student loan, mine, none of that, and also no credit card, and no, you know, car payment, nothing, we don't have none of that. Only thing that we have is, we still own house in Winchester, and we are renting it out, thanks be to God, somebody else is paying our mortgage, and I'm counting every month. We have 8 years, 11 months. 8 years, 11 months. That's one thing that we owe, but other than that, we are very grateful and thankful to God that we owe nothing, and our family, our health. So, you know, we are very thankful. So that's where I come from. That's from that experience of God's goodness and faithfulness. I want to share that with you. If you were to pull out the bulletin now with you, this is what I'm asking to you. You know, as we begin the journey of Lent, I shared with you, we blessed the cross and gave it this cross to you, and then this is what I'm asking. And if you're not a believer yet, if Christ is not your Lord and Savior, it's okay. You can ignore today's teaching and learning. You can start and go over the bulletin, check the typos and all that, just you can completely ignore today's lesson. However, if a cross means to you something, if Jesus Christ's death and resurrection means to you something, so if you call Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're following with me? Savior and Lord, then I'm inviting you, check these scriptures and teachings I share with you, and write them down in the bulletin, the scripture passages, and take home and read and reflect, and then in that way, you choose your path. That's what I'm asking and inviting you. So with that, let's go to the scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us, based upon scripture, two wonderful lessons that we can learn and put into practice. First, practice principle that I share, I gain from the scripture is the principle of being content, or the principle of counting blessings. In 4:10 and the following, Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, alas, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being well-fed and going hungry and having plenty and of being in need. And verse 13, everybody knows this verse, right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Verse 13, it doesn't necessarily mean that a person like me who is athletically challenged, it doesn't mean, this verse does not mean that I should be training for marathon and then competing for the Olympics and then aiming for gold medal. It doesn't mean that kind of I can do all things. No. It means the primary context of that is in terms of financial situations, when we have need and lack things, when we have challenging things, and also when things are going really well, in all those things, the primary context is that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There's financial challenges and struggle. With God's help, we can do well. That's what it means. When Paul wrote this passage, he was in Rome. What was he there for? He was preaching the gospel, and after he finished preaching the gospel, he went to Jerusalem. And then as he was worshiping God one day, he was falsely accused and violently attacked and beaten, and he was thrown to prison for over 2.5 years. And then after that, he was taken to Rome here, and he was there imprisoned for almost 2 years like this. Places like that. Imagine damp and dark place. The hollow space that was like his bathroom or his toilet. In that situation, out of that, in chains, Paul is saying that there are times the churches that I served, like Philippi, they sent out money to help me, to feed me, to keep me warm, but there are times I didn't get nothing. But Paul's saying that even in my chains, in my low and lack of the things and resources, when things are good and then I had a full, and in all those things, it says, you know, I learned how to be content and thankful to God. Therefore, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. A while ago, I was visiting a person at a nursing home. I heard that that person was somewhat down and went and spent some time with that person. Her granddaughter was there with her, and she was passing. The food is terrible here. I want to go home. And she was just going on and on. I said, you know, let's play this little game. And she said, what game? I don't want to play any game. I said, what game? I said, a game called Counting the Blessings. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin, and I'm going to say what I'm thankful to God, and then your granddaughter, and then you. We just go around and around. You ready? You can do that? I said, yes, Pastor. So, you know, I said, I'm thankful to God for my family. I'm thankful to God for my wife. I'm thankful to God for my health. I'm thankful to God that our cars are running fine. I just went on, and then a granddaughter said, you know, I'm thankful to God. And then gradually that person said, I'm thankful to God for my two boys. I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful to God. What about, you know, not many people can afford this kind of a medical support system, you know, resources. You thankful to God for that? Yes, I should be thankful to God for that. As we go round and round, counting blessings, being content, the mood has changed. Okay? That is first thing, I believe, the way we handle our financial resources and challenges. Next is, Paul says in 4:15 and the following, saying that you Philippians need to know that in the early days of the gospel, when I was in Macedonia, your only church helped me. Then verse 17, then there it says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I've been paid in full and have more than enough. I'm fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering. Notice those words, fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. In terms of what really happened, the financial transaction, what happened was church in Philippi, they collected the money and sent through this person, Epaphroditus, to where? To Rome. And who received the gift and money? Who? Paul. People in Philippi collected money and sent out to Paul. And who used the money in jail? It was not God. It was Paul who used that money. Scripture interesting saying that instead of saying that, well, you know, people in Philippi, they sent the money, so Paul used that, and Paul had a great time. It didn't say that. Those all were gifts to God. Sacrifice an offering pleasing to God. So here's the question. This is how we should view and handle our money and resources. That is, everything is a blessing from God. Every time you give and I give, whether it's $1, $5, $1,000, whatever that is, it is we are giving to God. Please, may I ask you, plead you, for the sake of your soul's sake, never ever say, I give to church or building, denomination, to a person. It's never that. It's never that. It is always to God, who loved us and gave us his only son for our salvation. Out of that gratitude, we give to God and handle things according to God's way. And the way the Philippians handle the things God's way is further clarified in 2 Corinthians 8 and the following. 2 Corinthians 8, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian people, talking about Philippians, the people of Macedonia, they are Philippine people. And 2 Corinthians 8, it says, during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. Philippine peoples, they were going through some kind of a famine or financial difficulties. Out of that affliction, they gave generously. And verse 3, as I can testify, they gave generously according to your means, in others proportionately. If they make below 50,000, that's how they give. If they made more than 100,000, that's how they did on a proportionate giving. Verse 5, and this not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us. There, two biblical principles are clearly identified. First, tithing, proportionate giving to God, and then to us, to people, meeting the needs of the people, like Paul in prison. This is exactly following Matthew 23 and Luke 11, 42. There Jesus told us, you give mint and tithe and tithe of all those things to God first. At the same time, you to other people practice justice, mercy, and faithfulness. It's justice, mercy, and faithfulness that means when we see somebody's need, we do that. You may say, you know, Pastor, not like you. I'm kind of tight. As you know, I'm a single person. I'm retired. I don't have the income that I used to have. I'm living off Social Security. I'm a single mother. And that kind of situation, you know, I'm aware of some of your challenges. May I share a little bit about my own experience of that? As I was preparing this, I was thinking about my mother. She became a widow when she was 45, and she raised 6 children. She had only elementary school education. She went through Korean War. She couldn't get a well-paying job. She went and sold the household kitchen items house to house. That's how she supported me, college, and other things. But my mother told me, my siblings, first to God, tithing, and then if you see somebody need help, help them. That's how I was taught. Now I see God's blessings flowing over my nephews and nieces. That's amazing. So, you know, if you're tight, I don't understand, I respect that, but seeing my mother raising 6 children as a single widow, I see that God's faithfulness, God's goodness, that's where I come from. With that, I'd like to share with you, this is what I believe and practice, and I invite you, reflect biblically and pray about it, and consider of, living this out. In that way, you live in God's blessing. 10, 10, 80, you heard this expression from other pastors. What it means is, first 10 to God, 10%, next 10, you save. Say with me, save for your retirement. And then live on 80 below your means. Below your means. First 10% to God. And also here's the thing, you know, some people ask, Pastor, what is tithing? I thought, what if I put down the offering, that is tithing. That's not necessarily true. Some people think that, what if I put $1, $5, whatever, that is tithing. No. Tithing is 10%. What is that? 10% of our income. 10%. That is tithing. Whatever we put, that is an offering. But tithing is setting aside, I say, first, before I do anything else, putting for God, that is tithing. Next 10 is you saving for your retirement, and also 80, what I practice, my wife, what we practice is we practice envelope system. You heard this expression? Have budget, you know, God, and saving, retirement, and then 80% now below that, but you have an envelope. This is for grocery. Hollis, don't touch it. That's for grocery. And that's for gas. That's for repairing cars. That's for insurance. But my wife and I found out that is instead of using credit card whenever we think it, as we follow that, definitely we control the money, not money controlling us. So that's, you know, 10, 10, 80. The next is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. First, 10% that following that is we are doing that in our relationship to God. But justice, mercy, and faithfulness, that is how we relate and being right and following God in our relationship with our fellow human beings. Last week, someone came to church, and one of you witnessed that out of your pocket giving $40. So that him and his pregnant wife can have meals for lunch and dinner. Okay? That is justice. That is mercy. That is faithfulness. When we do that, God is, I believe, really pleased. Okay? Some of you give generously when there is a hurricane.
I saw you, some of people write $1,000 right there to help the just relief. That is on the top of your tithing, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Have this mission envelope. My wife and I, we prayed about this. Tithing portion has been already taken first from mine. Okay? And then after that, when this kind of opportunity comes, we talk and say, honey, how much should we give? We are so much blessed. How much? Then we agree and we put that. And we did the same thing about Charlie's place. You know, what, this is what we have four in our family. Let's get four winter jackets. How about that? You know, that is all justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Here's the thing. This is time again. You pull out your bulletin, and I want you to write down these promises of God. These promises of God. And take this home and reflect and pray. And if it's necessary, have conversation with the spouse. And I want you to trust the promises of God and experience God's faithfulness. First is Philippians 4:19. If we follow this God's principle and God's ways, God says, God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I experienced that. How we, with single income, finished the three of us, my wife and my children, college without debt. I experienced God being faithful and meeting our needs. God is alive and living today and faithful. So take that word and experience that. Next is in Malachi 3. Malachi 3, God says, if we honor God with a full tithe, and God says, by the way, see if I'm true or not, put me to the test. Entire Bible, only place God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. See if I open the windows of heaven and bless you or not. And one more is Luke 6:38. Given will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. You know, here's my wallet. One day I was reading the Bible, this word really spoke to me. So I wrote it, and I carry, been carrying that verse in my wallet. So every time I pay, then, you know, that promise of God I remember and I smile. Now, which face represents you? Which face represents you?
Jesus.
I've been preaching since 87. Every time, as a pastor, I teach and guide you people on this subject. Some people are upset, mad at me. Preacher, you have no right to tell me what to do. It's my money. It's between me and God. Some people are upset and unhappy, mad at me. But at the same time, it is always, some people are smiling throughout the message. They smile. Because they had put their trust in God and following God's word, and they have been experiencing God's faithfulness and goodness real to them. I do hope and pray that all of you smile.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, I pray for many families who fight and struggle, angry over money, saying hurting things and words, and become even violent, they get a divorce. Even after divorce, they fight over money. Oh Lord, I don't want my people to be like that. I don't want our children and children's children to be like that. Lord, please speak to each and every one of us and members, and also, Lord, help us that we put this into practice and experience your goodness and your faithfulness.
Oh Lord, help us that we teach our children and grandchildren so that even after we're gone, they live in your goodness and faithfulness, oh Lord. And bless our church as well, and each and every member of this church family. Take your word and promise seriously, and put this into practice. We smile, smile, smile a lot. We share your goodness with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and share or join me in singing this wonderful hymn, To God Be the Glory. Thank you.